At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the November 2024 edition of Post Perez. I almost said the long and winding railroad, Karen, because we'll talk about it. Those of you watching on YouTube will understand why. This is Post Perez. It's our second to last episode of the year of the 2024. I can't believe already. How fast this year's gone.
We cleared August in the G1, and all of a sudden it's like, get ready for the dome coming soon.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy. I mean, just the year, though, in general. Like, this year, we just flew for me.
I feel like the older I get, the faster time moves, and I don't want it. I want things to slow down.
No, it's like the Pink Floyd song, Time, where it just talks about when you're younger, time moves so slowly, and then when you get older, like us, I guess. Like, yeah, more me. But it's like, oh man, I don't want another 10 years to go by like that.
Yeah, no. <That's> what,
so, you know, I really enjoyed my 40s, you know, so they went too soon. So, but apparently.
I'm halfway through mine at the moment, so I totally understand what you're saying.
My 40s were like if I was 30. Like, I lived my life in my 40s like I was still 30. In my 30s. And my 30s were kind of like I'm still in my 20s in a lot of respects. So, like, my 50s, I feel like I'm still, like, kind of living in my, like, if I was still in my 40s. So, we'll see what the next decade brings along. But we will be doing a December episode probably the second week of December, because I am going to Japan in a couple of weeks.
Lucky.
from this recording, and I'll be back the first week of December, and so I will not be recording anything between when I come back immediately, because I'll just be sleeping to recover from jet lag.
Yeah,
and so I'll Karen and I will plan something like probably the second weekend of November to talk about what's happening. I'll be honest, Karen, I probably am not going to watch any wrestling.
Fine. Enjoy it.
You know?
Unplug, have a good time, eat all the food.
You know what my big goal is?
What's your big goal?
My like, real, like, I really want to do this. I haven't done it since I left Japan. Is go to karaoke. Like, I love karaoke.
Oh, all right.
I've already contacted friends I'm meeting up with, and I said, can we go to karaoke? And they're like, yeah, but I'm so rusty. I go, there's nothing, there's like,
doesn't matter.
No convenient options for me and like the people I want to go to karaoke with.
Yeah.
You know, like either the good ones in Toronto are too far for other friends to come up to go there, and not having a car for me is a little inconvenient as well. But yeah. So like I'm really looking forward to going where karaoke is fucking the zenith, the apex, and that is in Japan.
The origin, as it were.
You know, a lot of the Korean, like a lot of the karaoke places in Toronto are Korean owned, and okay. Korean like interface, you know, karaoke interface is different from Japanese interface. So, like, they don't have the same song selection. Sometimes, like, I'd be like, oh, I'm gonna pick the song, and then the version they play is shit compared to the versions that you find in Japan. Live Damn. What else was a?
Oh my gosh.
I can't remember. Huh?
That's like Live Damn. That's a back for me.
That Live Jam's a great, great catalog of karaoke songs. There's another
surprising robust English catalog for them.
Oh, yeah. No. I think they realize, a lot of foreigners want to go to karaoke and spend a lot of money spending 5 hours at a given time to just sing songs in a private room.
Get that nomihodai, all you can drink, and just burn daylight.
I cannot tell you. I can't do this anymore, but I cannot tell you how many, like, I started nomikai at, like, which, by the way, nomikai means drinking party. I started nomikai with, like, students when I was a teacher there, or friends or coworkers at, like, I don't know, 7 p.m. Yeah. And then I thought, I'm going to go home at midnight.
No.
And then it's 5 a.m.
Yep.
And I'm still there in the karaoke, which we started at 2 a.m. or 1 a.m. We're still there.
Because karaoke is usually the third party. Like, you have, like, the big party, and then you have, like the smaller one where everyone just goes to a bar, and then there's, like, after that bar, then it's the, let's go to karaoke.
Yeah,
and
it's right.
Probably have Chinese, because that's usually how my, but that was my 20s, man. I don't think I can go that
far. No, I can't do that anymore.
First party, and, like, right around 10 o'clock, it's like, I got to get my train.
The funny thing is, most of these parties, especially the ones I had with, like, my students, who are all adults, by the way. But you say, you went all night with a karaoke student? No. Like, these are all adults. These are all adults, okay? There's no one under the age of 20 at these karaoke parties, drinking parties that I'm going to with students. Like, a lot of them, they had to wait for the first train at 5 a.m.
Oh,
I live 5 minutes away, probably, from the karaoke place that we would usually go to. So I could have just said, adios, sayonara. Oyasumi, I'm going back to my apartment. I'm going to go sleep. But no, I would stay. Insanely, I would stay. But no, nothing past 11 p.m. probably for me on this trip. Yeah, so. But anyways, before we get to business, Karen, of what's been happening in Japan and what's coming up in Japan, you might, if you're watching the YouTube, you might see I'm sporting. And if you follow me on Instagram, you might see that I'm sporting the Pillars jacket with the, look at that.
Look at that.
This thing
nice.
Is so comfortable. Look, it's got, you know, it's got this quilting.
That's
it's
nice wonderful. Little quilted lining it is very, on it.
It is a very comfortable jacket. It's actually pretty warm. Like, if I wear this in, like, I don't know what it is in Fahrenheit, but, like, in Celsius, if I wear this, like, I'd say between, like, 5 degrees Celsius and, like, 10 degrees Celsius with, like, a nice hoodie, like, you know, another layer, I could probably get away with wearing this, like, outside for a considerable amount of time if I wear a muffler as well. So this is super comfortable. I'm wearing a medium size. And you know what? I got the advanced one because
of course you did.
Dickie Bird over at Chalk-Tees takes care of me. And it's also, like, you know, I'm one of the top sellers. What can I say? I am one of the top sellers at chalk-tees.com. It's still available for pre-order, Karen. So what that means is you can save $13 United States dollars. You'll have to do the conversion for whatever country you are in, if it's not the United States. It's normally going to be $130, but it's $117. So that's pretty good. You can guarantee the size. Like, so we have from small to medium to large to XL, 2XL to 3XL. And the pre-order is going to be ending soon, as of this recording, which is November 1st. So you better get on top of that. So kind of other information I want to share with viewers is also, this item is currently available pre-order. It means you'll guarantee an item in your desired size. Once the pre-order has finished, only the sizes that remain in stock will be available. So this is not print on demand. This is going to be, Chalk-Tees is going to, like, print a certain amount in certain sizes, probably the ones that are the most popular. But with the pre-order, if at any point you change your mind about your pre-order, Chalk-Tees will refund you 100%. As long as the pre-order window is still active. If you change your mind after the item has been dispatched, you will need to send the item back prior to receiving a refund, and then you can go to Chalk-Tees refund policy page This is inspired by the Ribera style jacket that many wrestlers covet when they go to Japan for their tours for the first time, especially. So it's a chalk line quilted satin jacket that features a satin shell with polyester quilted lining, knit cuffs, collar, and waist. It's very comfortable. Very comfortable. It's officially licensed by Post Wrestling and myself. This item isn't made on demand, meaning only a limited amount will exist. Once they sell out, there's no guarantee we'll make any more. Don't miss out. So once they're gone, unless it's like, oh my God, we sold them all and there's all these people requesting it, then we'll go back to print. But that again is up to Richard Avian over at chop-tees.com. And this is a very comfortable jacket. I'm going to actually wear it outside tomorrow to work. It's going to be a little breezy tomorrow, so I'm going to wear another layer with this. But also, like, if you go there, if you want to support WH Party, you can also get the Five Pillars T-shirt of the Long and Winding Railroad. There you go. To complement the Four Pillars design on the back of this jacket. But you know what else, Karen? Though, you know what else is available at chop-tees.com?
What, my dear friend?
You know, it's getting a little chilly here in Canada, so you know what would be great? An Empress pullover. What the fuck?
So, and just so y'all know, there might be some new colors coming out relatively soon.
Whoa. There you go. So if light blue isn't for you, and I don't see why it wouldn't be, then there might be some autumn colors coming out, maybe.
Possibly.
I mean,
we're almost into winter, so probably not autumn colors per se, but
well, I mean, what does that mean for people in Florida like yourself? I don't know.
I mean, it was over 30 degrees today, so this is like winter wear for us. But yes, I've been in cahoots with the Birdman, and we are talking about expanding the range that is available in the signature line. But yes, I mean, what better compliment to the Four Pillar shirt than
you know what?
In the party.
This could be your other layer.
I mean,
plus one of my t-shirts. I got a lot of them.
You
MC
do
later.
You have
the
so
long
many shirts.
Winding Road, Post Perez. They're all fucking good too, if I do say so myself. So
we love a good shirt.
That's right. But that's it for the plugs. Go chop-tees.com, everyone, if you want to find not just for myself, Karen, Poison, our friends Braden Davey or Poison Rana, our friends Brandon Thurston over at WrestleNomics. Dude, by the way, doing the good work over there. Those
outstanding
guys.
Outstanding work.
John and Brandon, like just digging the dirt on all the scum in wrestling. I love it. All the scum in wrestling, you better watch out. If Paul and Thurston get on your ass, you're fucking cooked. Maybe that'll be a tagline. Paul and Thurston will cook your ass if you're scum in wrestling or MMA. So Dana White, you better be careful. What? Just kidding. No, <I'm>
careful.
Anyways, they could just edit this out if that's too incendiary. But I'm sure people at TKO are not listening to this show, so there you go. Anyways, Karen, let's talk about what's been happening in the world of professional wrestling. And first of all, let's start with New Japan Pro Wrestling, and off the top, my God, they've just been like, it's just a win, because they have not announced the first match for Wrestle Kingdom 19 in Tokyo Dome for January 4th, 2025. And my God, what a barn burner this will be. I am so excited.
No,
it's going
not.
To be,
don't lie,
Hiroshi Tanahashi taking on, get ready, folks, Evil. And who doesn't want to see that except everybody? Why, Karen? Why are we having to? Why is poor Tanahashi having to endure one of his last Wrestle Kingdoms wrestling this clown?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, maybe he has a soft spot for evil. Maybe he really wants evil to succeed. I have a feeling he's going to put evil over. I feel like Tanahashi's last campaign to 2026 January is going to be putting a lot of people over before he transitions into the office full time.
This man will never be over. He's had, what, 4 or 5 years since he first won the IWGP title? And he bombed as a champion. No, like, he's a mid-card comedy act at best. He just doesn't realize it, and neither does New Japan management, apparently. Never put the belt back on him, please. Don't even give him the fucking KOPW, please. Do not do that. It's ridiculous. Like, I'm not saying he shouldn't have a job, but either, like, just make him LIJ evil again. No bullshit. Get rid of Dick Togo. And then we'll talk. Let's talk then, pushing this guy again. Cause he was awesome in LIJ as a serious wrestler. The shenanigans were at a minimum. But this version, the version we've had for the last 5 years, 6 years maybe, no. Please don't. But I assume this is not going to be the main event.
I sincerely doubt it will be.
Get that out of the way. Let's talk about some Super Junior Tag League. Let's talk about the standings. It's been going on. When did it start again?
The 24th.
The 24th.
In previous years, it felt like it was almost a 3 week span. But this time around, it feels like it's truncated to less than 2 weeks. Like, it just feels like they're just like having shows like almost every single day since the previous pay-per-view that they had on the 20th.
So there's two blocks. There's an A block and there's a B block. And as of this recording, the A block standings are at number one is a team of TMDK, Robbie Eagles, and Kosei Fujita with 8 points. Next is a tie between the War Dogs and Sho and Yoshinobu Kanemaru from House of Torture. At number four, a tie with 4 points. Third place tie, 4 points each. Hiromu Takahashi and Bushi from LIJ tied with Ryusuke Taguchi and Dragon Dia of Dragon Gate. And at the bottom is Tiger Mask and Captain Suicida. B block, as of yesterday, all six teams in this block, Karen, are all tied for 4 points.
Correct.
So what does that mean coming up?
What that means is that by the time this recording drops, they will probably be already having the show on the second, in which there are three tiebreaker matches. But it's going to come down to tiebreakers and who holds. It's going to be a whole lot of like Venn diagram / conspiracy board kind of maths to figure out who holds what over who to advance to the finals.
Right. If John Pollock was here, he'd do all the heavy lifting for us, but he's not here. So
I was an English major. I don't do math. Sorry.
No, I'm not doing I'm not analyzing the booking of Ghetto and the point system and the results of what happened the last week and a half. Let's just talk about what matches are going to be, what tournament matches are going to be here. You want to run these matches that we're going to probably be hearing about later, the results later today for ourselves?
Sure thing. The three B block matches are going to be Taiji Ishimori and Robbie X versus Paris de Silva and Jude London, who seem to be getting a very positive response since they've been over there. Ninja Mac and the DKC against TJP and Francesco Akira, and then Kevin Knight and Kushida versus Rocky Romero and Yo.
So are we thinking like definitely A block, Robbie Eagles, Kosei Fujita, they are going into the finals?
I don't think there are any more A block matches, so they're the only ones at eight, so they're okay. The ones advancing.
Do you want to see them face from B block?
Who do I want to see them face, and who I think is going to face might be two different things.
Okay.
I want I would be interested to see them up against Taiji Ishimori and Robbie X, but likely it's going to probably be TJP and Francesco Akira.
And would you have TJP and Francesco Akira go over, or would you have Robbie Eagles and Kosei Fujita go over?
Again, what I want and what's probably going to happen are going to be two different things. I want Robbie and Kosei I really want them to just put the rocket on Kosei Fujita and let him have a dome match. But I feel like they're going to play it safe and they're going to go with TJP and Francesco Akira.
But wouldn't it be better to have like the fresh match with like one of their upcoming stars in a dome match for the tag titles?
Yes. However, I don't have confidence in Ghetto to take a risk with them.
Well, it's a junior tag title. It's like, you can always take a risk.
Or it'll become a four-way because Ghetto hates me and always wants to throw as many juniors into a match as possible.
That's true. He does like to book that four-way for the junior titles at the Dome.
It's either the tag titles or the singles title. One of them's going to end up being a four-way, or at least have three people or teams involved.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that as we get closer to Wrestle Kingdom in January of coming up. Probably we'll definitely like go over like things that maybe the finals in the December edition of Post Perez. But yeah, I you know, not something I've been following, to be honest with you. I don't have the time. Don't have the inclination.
You and me both.
So
work's just been a bit much lately, so
I was thinking about this the other day, though. I was thinking, what has happened to junior heavyweight wrestling that I don't, and I feel like maybe I'm not the only one. I could be. I think I'm indicative of a larger fan base about junior heavyweight wrestling, particularly New Japan junior heavyweight wrestling. You know what? I think it's Jushin Liger retiring.
I would say that's one thing. My other thing is they've consistently relied too heavily upon the same three people to carry the entire division. They've put too much on Hiromu, Desperado, and Ishimori to make the entire division relevant since Liger's retirement.
Well, I'm talking more like his influence, right? I think even like as he was heading towards retirement and he's winding down his in-ring, he still had a large influence on how the junior heavyweights were booked. Even though wasn't a booker, I feel like he had some say and they listened to him because they respected him so much.
Yeah.
I think once he officially retired, that kind of just stopped. Because if you think about the apex, the pinnacle is when he was the booker, when he was the top star, and he tried to create as many people to carry the ball. He pushed the likes of Shinjiro Otani, Koji Kanemoto, when they were around before they went to WCW, Pegasus Kid and Eddie, you know, Black Tiger, Eddie Guerrero, Lionheart, Chris Jericho when he was available. And he would just go out and find as many people he could to bring into the Dr. Wagner Jr. People like that, like, and tons of other people. And like, even up to like, you know, his waning days, you can see like, okay, I'm going to bring in these people, try to get them to come to the junior heavyweight division in New Japan. And unfortunately, I don't think you have someone as passionate in management that he was, right, about the junior heavyweight, because that was his bread and butter. So, we miss you, Jushin Thunder Liger. We miss you in more ways than one, you know, so. Let's talk about a show coming up on November 4th, which is Culture Day in Japan, Karen. And you'll be talking about this show with our good friend, Big Bruce Lord. And it is Power Struggle, and it's going to be headlined by what should be a barn burner of a match, current IWGP Heavyweight Champion, Zack Sabre Jr. And he will take on his challenger, the man who won the number one contenders match, Shingo Takagi.
I'm excited. I'm very excited. it's one of those things where I am curious to see where they go with it. But at the same time, I still don't know. I always get kind of salty about Power Struggle only because it's billed as Power Struggle Super Junior Tag League Finals, and whether or not the Super Junior Tag League Finals will actually close the show or not always becomes a topic of debate. So I don't know which match is actually closing the show, because the card that was posted is kind of all out of order. And the full card isn't going to be announced until after the show on the 2nd.
Okay, I'm sorry. There's no way the Super Junior Tag League Finals are closing this show when you have an IWGP Heavyweight title match with Zack Sabre Jr. Sorry, go ahead.
It's been announced that Kenny Omega is going to make an appearance at the show. So I feel like that has something to do with something on the card. Whether or not it has to do with the IWGP Heavyweight Championship match or something else, we don't know. But
I'm going to assume it's going to do with whatever he's going to do in January.
Yeah.
Which I feel is like when he's, I don't know his full health update, Kenny Omega, but I feel like he's really kind of pacing himself to come back to New Japan for the Wrestle Kingdom show in January. The talk has been like him and Tanahashi will team because they've been doing a lot of media together.
Yeah.
And probably they're going to take on, the Young Bucks to advance the storyline, in AEW of Kenny being kicked out of the Elite, replaced with Okada. And then this would further that, but also it would be an attraction match, I think, to have Omega and Tanahashi teaming really for the first time to take on the Young Bucks who haven't wrestled in Japan in quite a long time. So I can see that. But the rest of the card is also interesting for Power Struggle. A special singles match. Is this the number one contenders match, Karen? Sonata versus Shota Umino?
That one, I don't know if it's the number one contenders match, but it was the leftovers of the Zack and Sonata match. Basically, both of them each had to pick an opponent from, I guess they each had a headshot that they had to draw, and Zack drew Shingo and Sonata drew Umino. So I guess it could become a number one contenders match.
Well, if it is, I hope it's Sonata who wins, because I do not think Shota Umino versus Zack Sabre Jr. will draw a single dime. I think Sonata has a good chance to draw a decent house.
Yeah. If they're thinking about it, because I know they have Fighting Spirit Unleashed in this month as well, but they also have Strong Style Evolved at the Walter Pyramid in December. And I believe I saw Shota listed, Zack has the center spot, and Narita and Umino are also on there. So should Shota win, I could see that being a main event for Strong Style Evolved as opposed to the Tokyo Dome.
Right. Right. Super Junior Tag League Finals, Eagles Fujita versus to be determined Block B winner. IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship, David Finlay versus Taichi. I don't know. I don't really feel excited about this match.
I want to feel excited about it, but I feel like Taichi's been kind of spinning his wheels since after the G1. So it could be the sleeper hit of the show, but it would really require Ghetto minding his own business and letting Taichi and Finlay do what they do best.
If Taichi channels his mentor Toshiaki Kawada, and Dave Finlay says, "Well, okay, then I'm going to be Stan Hansen," and then I'm all here for it. Maybe that's what they'll give us. We'll see. We'll see. Listen, one of my favorite matches from a G1, I think two years ago, was fucking Taichi versus the Great Okan. Who'da thunk? IWGP Junior Heavyweight Title Match. Current champion Doki will take on Master Wato. Why? they're just padding out this guy's V1s, V2, V3s, V4s.
All I'm hoping for is new gear for Master Watto. He came in with the suit. He came with his barber does not do him dirty. He had nice hair. I just need new gear from him, and I will raise the flag for Master Watto once more. But I feel like they're gonna just Doki's probably gonna carry the belt to the dome. But
yeah.
They're making a very big to-do about Master Watto coming back, especially because he didn't win the IWGP Junior Championship. He just won the best of the Super Juniors, right?
Yes.
Like, he got hurt before he could win the belt.
I think your recollection of Master Watto's career is probably a lot better than mine. So we'll say yes to that.
Okay. It's been a while, because he's been gone for almost a year now, but right. It's one of those things where I'm excited to have him back, but it all depends on what the plan for him moving forward is after this match.
You could just, make him Kawato again. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Get rid of the gimmick.
I mean,
get rid of the gimmick.
That's how I feel about Eve as well. He could be Takaaki Watanabe.
We could have
Tanaka, give me them back. Full names back. Give me their government names.
And finally, the last of the big title matches, IWGP Tag Championships, Mikey Nicholls and Shane Haste will take on Great O'Conn and Hanare from United Empire. That should be okay. Maybe a sleeper match here as well, depending how much time they're given. And finally, special tag match, Hiroshi Tanahashi and my boy, Oleg Bolton will take on not my boys, Evil and Ren Narita. This should be complete dog shit, unfortunately, because of House of Torture, not because of Oleg or Tanahashi. But anyways, that's the preview for it. You can listen to the review at the cafe with Karen and Big Bruce Lord. That's his new nickname, Big Bruce Lord.
Big Bruce Lord. It'll probably be recorded Monday evening because we've got time zones and, work days to contend with. But
that's right.
It'll probably be a Monday release. It's this weekend's a busy weekend for me.
Me too. We'll talk about that as well. At the end of the show. You know what? If you ever have the pleasure of meeting Bruce in real life, you might want to get a neck brace because you'll just be doing this.
I've been told he's very tall, and I am a short queen. I am 5'4".
He's like 6'8", something like that. He's really tall. I couldn't believe how tall he was. I was just like, I saw a picture of him next to Scrump, and Scrump is a pretty tall guy. He's like 6-something.
Yeah.
And Bruce was like, he looked like if you put fucking like Sid Vicious, which would be Scrump, next to fucking Elegante in WCW, which would be Bruce Lord. So Elegante is Bruce Lord. He might not like that comparison. I apologize in advance if that has offended you, Bruce. I mean, no offense. I'm just trying to make a visual reference for Karen and for maybe our other listeners out there about the immensity of the great Bruce Lord.
So he's like Hikuleo tall, like he's like super duper tall.
Well, I don't think he's that tall, but he's tall. like compared to me, right? Like I'm like 5'5" or and maybe a little bit extra, like I'm 5'5". I was like, geez. It would be like if I was El Phantasmo and he's like Hikuleo.
That's okay.
Yes. Okay. Anyways, enough of that.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
Extreme cold weather advisory in effect this morning.
You're a contractor. You have a contract.
All right, guys, come on. Let's do this.
A little snow and ice isn't stopping you. Not today, not any day. Shouldn't your flashing tape be working through it all, too? Only Frog Tape Pro-Grade Flashing Tape's high-performance acrylic adhesive sticks, re-sticks, and stays stuck, even on the roughest surfaces in rain, snow, heat, and more. So you stay in control when it matters most. Show weather who's boss with Frog Tape Pro-Grade Flashing Tape.
Let's talk about this other show that's coming up at Edion Arena in Osaka. I'll be going to Osaka, Karen, on my trip.
Have an amazing time. Tell Osaka I love him.
What's coming up on November 17th in Osaka?
For the first time in 2 years, the second installment of Historic Crossover will be taking place at the Osaka Edion Arena. The full card has not yet been announced. However, there have been several announcements. Do you want me to run down the card so far?
Yes, please.
Okie dokie. Well, there's going to be an 8-person mixed tag match featuring Hiroshi Tanahashi, Ryusuke Taguchi, and Hana and Saya Iida against Gabe Kidd, Drilla Maloney, Natsuko Tora, and Saya Kamitani. You're going to see a pattern on this card. There's a lot of Stardom's version of Bullet Club, i.e. H-A-T-E, is in a lot of these matches. Taichi is going to tag with Natsupoi against Clark, Connors, and Tekla. Desperado is going to finally return from taking care of his injuries, and he and Starlight Kid will be tagging against the G1 champion and 5-star Grand Prix champions of Zack Sabre Jr. and Micah. Honestly, this might be a match that people will want to dog ear. I know it's the KOPW 2024 Provisional Championship, but it's hardcore rules. Not so much for Great O'Con, but the fact that Suzu Suzuki is challenging for the championship. And then right now, the IWGP Women's Championship match. Mayu was in the main event against Kairi for the inaugural championship back in 2022. This time she's walking in as champion with 7 successful defenses, and her 8th defense will be against Momo Watanabe, who still to date has not been able to capture the World of Stardom Championship, and she is still salty about it. So if we get angry, like 5-star Grand Prix level Momo Watanabe, it's going to be a great match.
I mean, I don't know. I don't see her being the one to dethrone Mayu Iwatani on this.
Momo knows the assignment. She's not going to win it, but she's going to have a hell of a match.
I mean, I feel like if and this is not a slight against Natsuko Tora, you know, but if they're going to give her the belt, even if it's just transitionary, you could maybe do not transitionary, please, but you could put the belt on Momo. She fucking carried the white belt. She was pretty much the heir apparent to, you know, Io Shirai, now known as Io Sky in WWE. She was kind of pretty much handpicked, I feel. Like, I don't know this for a fact, but my gut tells me she was handpicked by Io to be like, she's going to be leading Queen Quest from when I leave to go to WWE. She's going to be one of the top stars in this company, you know. And then New Japan bought the company, Bushiro bought the company, and then they were like, you know what? Not our aesthetic in terms of a top flight star. And you can see what the aesthetic was when Bushiro bought the company. And it's a shame because it shouldn't necessarily be, it shouldn't be based on that. It should be based on charisma, how great their matches are. And she had all that when she was white champion, the Wonder Stardom champion. It was amazing. Amazing run with that belt. You know, one of the people that made that the equivalent of the red belt.
Again, if they were to let Momo have a run with the top championship and let her do it with, like, she can still do some of the heel stuff, but not if she would scale back on it and focus more on her wrestling, because she is a great all rounder and she's very underrated when you compare her to a lot of the other girls right now.
Let's move on to, unless you have any things you want to mention about Historic Crossover.
Nope, that's it. I'm excited. We're working out the details. I think I'm reviewing it. I don't know, but stay tuned to postwrestling.com for more details.
Let's move on to Fighting Spirit Unleashed. This is at the Lowell Auditorium. Mm-hmm. In where's that? Massachusetts.
It's outside of Boston, Massachusetts.
There you go. This looks like a pretty loaded card. We're going to have, four title matches, it looks like. Starting with, at least in terms of the way they're written here, New Japan Strong Tag Champions, TMDK, I assume. It's Mikey and Shane, yes?
Yes, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. It is.
No, that's okay.
It's still Mikey and Shane.
we'll take on the recently acquired to New Japan Strong grizzled young veterans, Zach Gibson and James Drake. That should be a very fun match. There's a 2 out of 3 falls tag match. I feel I saw this match already on one of the other shows, one of the ones maybe you and I reviewed. Yes. Tom Lawler and Fred Rosser taking on Jarrell Nelson and Royce Isaacs. So the first match will be a tables match. The second match will be a submission match. And the third match, if necessary, will be tag team last man standing strap match, which is going to go there. So we're going to see all three of those types of matches. Didn't they just have a war?
They did something very similar. And when I saw it, I couldn't tell if they had just copied and pasted the match and the stipulations by accident or not. Again, I'm not as dialed into everything as I used to be, largely because I'm exhausted. But I mean, it's very much the OG New Japan Strong branding with Rosser and Lawler and Nelson and Isaacs. I just don't know how long the match is going to go and how packed the, like, what I remember of Lowell when I went to a Fighting Spirit Unleashed show, like, years ago, was that the auditorium, it's a very spacious venue, so it looks like they may have more room at ringside, but I don't want it to them to be fighting all over the venue with this match.
No. I mean, I would have done, I feel like you could have done something like Lawler and Rosser, who won the match that we reviewed. Mm-hmm. They could be challenging TMDK for the tag titles. I think that would have been nice, like, change of pace for those guys. And then
I feel like that's coming down the lines at some point. I just don't know. Yeah, I don't know why they're shoehorning grizzled young veterans in, unless it's they're trying to set up something for either World Tag League or for the Wrestle Dynasty in January.
And then, like, GYV could have taken on Nelson and Isaacs. Again, something fresh for both teams, like, especially for Jarrell Nelson and Royce Isaacs. I think them fighting grizzled young veterans would have been a lot fresher than them fighting, you know, Tom Lawler and Fred Rosser on the show, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
New Japan Strong Women's number one contenders 4-way. Anna Jay from AEW, Hazuki from Stardom, Kaguma from Stardom, so FWC in the same match, and Trisha Adora will do battle with one another to see who will become the number one contender. Who do you see as being the number one contender for Mercedes Moné's strong women's title?
I would love to say it's going to be Hazuki or Koguma, but my gut tells me it's going to be Anna Jay.
I think they're doing something in AEW. I think definitely with Anna Jay and Mariah May, I feel like I saw something happen between those two on an episode of Collision or Dynamite. I can't remember which one it was. But you're probably right. It's probably going to be Anna Jay because I feel like she's, like, you know, the person getting the big push in AEW right now. So I can see them saying, hey, can we give her the push against, you know, because the match could happen. They could say, hey, let's have that match on AEW television rather than on a New Japan show. And I think New Japan would be like, sure, no problem. You could have it. We don't care. And finally, for title matches at least, the New Japan Strong Openweight title, Gabe Kidd, the defending champion, will take on the young upstart junior heavyweight Kosei Fujita. This should be a great match.
Yes. I am excited because, again, it's letting a junior challenge for the open weight championship, which more of that should be happening. And not just for the strong open weight championship.
Yes. What other matches? We've got three other matches listed here. What are they, Karen?
We've got Noah versus Noah, as put out by Kenta himself. Kenta will be in a special singles match against Ryohei Oiwa. Possibly a sleeper hit for this one is Mustafa Ali versus Leo Rush and David Finlay versus Kevin Knight. And depending on what the outcome of Finlay's defense against Taichi is, this could possibly turn into a title match for Kevin.
Well, there you go. Fighting Spirit Unleashed may or may not be reviewed by Karen on the site.
I don't think it is.
Okay.
I don't think it is. I'll have to check.
We'll see. Stardom. Let's move on to Stardom. They recently had a show in Shinjuku on October 26th at the Sumitomo Hall. And they attracted about 500 spectators for that show. And they're in the midst of their Goddess of Stardom tag league. Another tag league from Bushiroad's Joshi promotion. In the Blue Goddess League, Natsupoi and Sariano, I've been keeping up mainly on the YouTube channel of Stardom. And my God, they're so good. Natsupoi and Sariano are so good as a tag team. And fuck, I love Sariano's finisher, which is like the ripcord into like this neckbreaker DDT kind of thing, into a pin bridge. And it's so amazing. Sariano is so fucking great. They defeated Meisera and Kohaku, which is the match I saw on YouTube. In the Blue Goddess, Hina and Lady C took on Waka Tsukiyama and Rian. And Tsukiyama got a rare win.
Oh.
With an Aussie suplex hold on Hina. So maybe they're finally going to give Waka here a bit of a push finally.
Maybe.
And then why don't you run down our Red Goddess? There's three Red Goddess matches that happened.
Are we? Let's see,
we're gonna skip the undercard, mid-card stuff.
Oh, I was like, wait, where am I starting? Okay. So for the Red Goddesses, Shuri and Saki Kashima, your favorites, versus Konami and Saya Kamitani, with Shuri, submitting Konami with the Byakko. Well done. The next one is Mayu Iwatani and Momokogo against Azumi and Miyu Amasaki, with Iwatani pinning Azumi with a dragon suplex. Of course, this is where Momo Watanabe actually issued her formal challenge by beating down Mayu for the IWGP Women's Championship at Historic Crossover. And then Hazuki and Koguma went up against Ruaka and Natsuko Tora, with Hazuki getting the Hazuki style on Tora.
Can I just ask you something? What is the name of this tag team? I know the Natsuko Tora and Raka.
I wanted to say that they were Team 2000 or something.
Yeah, no, it's 2000 BMI. Which I'm just like, are you fucking serious? Like, it's one thing, like the team of Chihiro Hashimoto and you calling themselves what, Team? You know,
they're Team 200 kilograms because right. They actually weigh around 200 kilograms combined.
But that's a name they chose for themselves, right?
Yeah. Because
like I'm pretty sure like fucking Mako Satomura's not saying I'm gonna make reference to your weight in a negative way. I'm gonna body shame you by calling you this. No, they probably like, you know what we should call ourselves? We should call us this because we're two of the largest women in the Joshi scene, you know,
yes.
And powerful. And it's part of our, you know, part of our kind of appeal as a tag team in the ring and stuff like that. Them saying it, you make a reference to BMI and saying it's a big BMI. That's fucking body shape. It's bullshit. It's Bushiroad bullshit. Because I'm pretty sure this is not something that like, I can't imagine they came up with this. You know what I mean? Any woman would say, yeah, we're going to make reference to the fact that you two are larger women. and you know, yeah, you're not slender. Such bullshit. Like,
especially when eating disorders are very much a you don't talk about it, but it's very, very common in Japan. It just really bums me out.
It really angered me when I saw the name of the tag. I was like, really?
Yeah.
Do better. Please, Bushiroad, yeah, do better, please.
They really need some women in the office.
Yeah.
Working with Stardom in particular.
After this match, though, Hazuki and Koguma said they're going to become double tag champs in Stardom and in Oz. What's the story behind that, Karen?
Oz Academy? Oh, I don't know. I that's news to me. I apparently missed something very big there. I guess they're hold on. Because Stardom's been working with a lot of different companies as of late.
Well, while you're looking at that, I'll run down some of the matches that happened on the 27th at Korakuen Hall, which had almost 1,300 spectators in attendance in the Red Goddess League. Hazuki and Koguma took on Shuri and Saki Kashima, and my wife Saki won with the Kishakase reverse on Koguma. In the Blue Goddess League, Waka, Sukiyama, and Ryan took on Rina and Azusa Inaba. Here we go. Waka's winning again with the Moonlight Dream on Azusa. And then let's go another Red Goddess League match. Mayu and Momo took on Konami and Saya Kamatani. Kamatani wins with the Frankensteiner on Iwatani, probably setting up a title match down the line for that IWGP women's title. And then where am I? Yes, Micah in the Red Goddess League. Micah and Hanako took on AZM, as she's popularly called in America, Azumi.
Boo, don't call her that.
And Miyu Amasaki. Hanako wins with the Shirasagi on poor old Miyu there. And our main event, though, this was our main event. High Speed Championship match. Their 27th champion, Mei Sarah, took on Yuna Mizumori. Sarah wins with the checkmate, her second successful title defense. I feel they're going to keep this belt on her for a while.
Probably.
Because I feel they're really high on her in terms of that division, the junior heavyweight division, so to speak, of Stardom.
I think they got they had enough of Starlight Kid, Natsupoi, and Azumi circulating around those belts that they're trying to get them to do other things. It's a good thing that they're expanding their horizons, but
I really feel like with Natsupoi especially, they are priming her to be a red champion in the near future. And I feel they're going to start elevating Starlight Kid into white belt territory. And they Hazuki should. Finally, I think, getting, because like they did the big angle with Hazuki and Starlight Kid, like where Hazuki's like tearing her mask and they just had like a brutal battle with one another. I feel like that's the direction they want to go with Hazuki and Starlight Kid. Kind of feuding more and actually kind of getting out of the tag league, getting out of the high speed league and going for world, you know, the white belt, and then prepping to go into the red belt territory for both of them. I hope so.
Yes.
Speaking of Stardom working not only with Oz Academy, but they're also working with Wave. And this is evidenced by the main event for the 2024 Prime Wave, November 4th show at Korakuen Hall. It's going to be Regina Da Wave, the Wave Single Championship. The champion, the current champion, Yuki Miyazaki, will take on, from hate, Tall Saya, Saya Kamatani. I think Saya Kamatani is probably going to win this belt.
You think?
Yeah, probably.
You think it's time?
Oh, I mean, it's something for her to do, and the Wave's probably like, oh my god, we're gonna get Saya Kamatani appearing on some of our shows. Sure, let's have that. That'll be cool. And then you can build someone up to take the belt off her, that put her over, put that person over, and you know, it just makes business sense to me.
See, what I had in mind for Kamatani was possibly the main event against Tam Nakano at the last show of the year. Because Kamatani's always been chasing Tam, whether it was for the white belt or what have you. So, I mean, it would be cool to see her as the Regina the Wave champion, but I feel like unless they're going to let Stardom's going to let them make her a champ, I don't know if they'd... But she was in the Catch the Wave tournament, which I think she won, so...
I just feel it's like if she does, she can go into the match with Tam with that belt. And I think the thing is, like, I think Wave would be like, yeah, any kind of exposure we can get, especially if she's going to be poised to be in the main event for the red belt. Mm. And she's going to carry our championship in that match. And then later on, she can drop the title to a Wave roster member to like bolster them and try to put them over. I think it's a win-win for booking for Stardom. It's a win-win for Wave for a short period of time until, like, you know, Kamatani's like, just don't forfeit the belt. Just don't, you know, lose it on some technicality or anything like that. Just do it like straightforward, put somebody over, do business the right way, please.
Yeah. Hopefully they're not protecting her as much as they used. She doesn't need to be protected anymore.
No, not so much. Let's move on to Marigold, fantastic venture on the October 24th at Corican Hall. Let's go through the major matches. And one of those was a tag match with Itami Hayashishida and Koki Amure taking on Chika Goto and Rhea Saito. The match was won by Amure with the Amethyst Butterfly on Saito. And I think this sets up their challenge for the tag belts later in the show. There was a passion injection match. I love the names of these matches for Nanaya Takahashi. She's going to inject some passion to these younger wrestlers. She took on Nao Ishikawa. Nanaya won following a vicious lariat. And she called out Ishikawa for lacking passion. You don't have any goddamn passion, Ishikawa. To which Ishikawa then took a great offense to this Karen and slapped Nanaya. But both left the ring together. So she was probably like, that's what she was trying. Slap me. Get some passion. There you go. Superfly championship match. Champion Natsumi Shozuki defeated challenger Hummingbird following a diving double knee drop. That doesn't sound like fun.
No.
To be on the receiving end. To either do.
Yeah.
Or be on the receiving end of. Afterwards, Misa Matsui made the challenge for to be Shozuki's next challenge. And that's set for Sapporo on November 2nd. Let's talk about the tag team title match. Karen, run through this for us.
Twin Star Championship match. Mirai and Mai Sakurai defended against Victoria Yuzuki and Kizuna Tanaka, with Sakurai actually getting the STF on Kizuna Tanaka, which is, I'm surprised, and I'm actually kind of like, it feels good to see Mai Sakurai actually getting a push in Marigold, because one of the things that she struggled with in Stardom was that she was in a stable with a lot of people with a lot of star power, and that she kind of always fell to the background, so I am enjoying seeing her evolution as the tag champion with Mirai.
And then after that match, Hayashishida and Amore made the challenge to be the next challengers. That should be a war. Anytime yes. You have Mirai and Utami in a match on opposite ends,
yes,
should be a war. And I think this is like, you know, Mai Sakurai is like, this is her coming out, you know. Like, show out, come out, put me in there with Utami. I'm going to go toe-to-toe with her. And Yeah, no, that should be an awesome tag match. Looking forward to watching that at some point. Next up, go ahead, Karen.
The United National Championship match, Miku Aono defended against Nagisa Nozaki. Aono won with the Styles Clash and making it her second successful title defense.
As well,
Marigold World Championship match, first champion Sari defeated Bozilla with a cross arm bar, making it her first successful defense. And then, surprisingly, Nanae Takahashi sauntered her way in and made for the next challenge. And she will be, that match is going to be set for November 14th at Korakuen Hall at Marigold's Winter Wonderful Fight 2024.
I love it. I love, you know, get Sari over with this belt. I mean, she's already over, you know, but get her over as like this, you know, she's not official roster member, but she's such a name in Joshi. Mm. And she brings so much credibility to that belt, I feel, because of her long kind of history comparatively to like other members of the roster. And she took on the impressive challenge of Bozilla, who's a pretty powerful wrestler.
Yes.
Like, especially like the size difference between her and Sari is pretty noticeable.
Yes.
So I love it. Nanae being next challenger, you know, because you don't need to inject any passion into Sari. She's got more than enough.
She has plenty.
Yeah. So that's great. So we have for Winter Wonderful Fight at Korakuen Hall on November 14th. It's going to be the Twin Star Championship. Mirai and Mai Sakurai taking on the challenge of Utami Hayashishida and Koki Amre. And the Marigold World Championship. Sari versus Nanae Takahashi will be her second title defense. And I think she will get the V2. She will go into 2025 as your Marigold World title holder. And it's great. I think you build up two challengers on official roster members. One of them's got to be Utami. The other one might be.
Utami has already called next for whoever is champion on January 3rd, which will be the first show of the new year for them.
The other person would probably, in my opinion, I think would be Mirai.
Oh.
So if Utami is not successful, then I think, you know, you start building up Mirai. Is, you know, even if she's still tag champion, you can still build her up as a single star as well. Let's move on. Let's move on to Dragon Gate. We don't really talk about Dragon Gate too much, but they do have a big show coming up. And I always keep saying, Karen, like, I got to start watching Dragon Gate again. But, like, I feel like I'll recognize no one on this roster. But like, I saw this card. I thought we should talk about it. It's a big show for them. It's at Edeon Arena in Osaka. It's coming up this weekend on November 3rd. It's the Gate of Destiny. They're one of their big shows on their calendar. We're going to see, I'm going to run through the entire card here. Madoka Kakuta and Ryo Fuda will take on Susumu Yokosuka and Kagetora. They're still going strong. These guys are Dragon Gate veterans. Ultimo Dragon. Who's this guy?
The young upstart Ultimo Dragon.
That's right. Teaming with, Kaiteika No Dragon, Takashi Yoshida, and Mondai Ryu, and they'll take on Masaki Mochizuki. Who's that guy? I never heard. No, I know who he is. Don Fuji, Genki Horiguchi, and Toru Owashi. So a bunch of, like, actually a lot of these guys are like veterans here of Dragon Gate. Open the Triangle Gate Championship match. The champions, who are Strong Machine J, Big Boss Shimizu, and UT, will take on the challenge of Kai, Homare, and Damus. Kono Mama Ichikawa will take on Dump Matsumoto. Dump Matsumoto getting a lot of buzz from her Netflix show, which you covered.
Sure did.
Here at Post Wrestling. Kono Mama, we only see him as another name for Stalker Ichikawa, the long-suffering comedy wrestler of Dragon Gate. Special singles match, Darkside Hulk, BB Hulk with his like kind of a great Muta like kind of like character will take on Shun Skywalker. Open the Brave Gate Championship match, Dragon Dia defends his title against Ryoya Tanaka. Say that right. Open the Twin Gate Championship, Dragon Kid and Naruki Doi will take on the challengers of KZ and Flamita. And one of the big matches, one thing they like to do here, Dragon Gate, Karen, is like create units. And then, you know, when they feel a unit has reached the end of their lifespan, they will have a losing unit, must disband. And this one's going to be a six-man tag, three-way match. So the units will be Gold Class, Big Hug, and Z-Brats. What do you think about these names, Karen?
It's the NXT name generator. I have no idea about Dragon Gate. I hope the Dragon Gate girlies don't come for me. It just, I don't know what any of these names mean. They probably have some kind of meaning, but not to me.
So in Gold Class, it's going to be represented by Ben K, Rita, and Mochizuki Jr. That's right, Masaki Mochizuki's kid. And in Big Hug, Luis Monte, Hio, and Jackie Kame will take on the representatives of Z-Brats, who are, I believe, the heels here. Kota Minora, Jason Lee, and Ishin. I have no idea who is going to disband, but I'm sure it'll be a great match. Most of these matches, most multi-man Dragon Gate matches are pretty awesome, Karen. And finally, open the Dream Gate Championship match. Our current champion, Yamato, will take on your boy from Pro Wrestling Noah. Kano.
Guess I'm going to have to watch some Dragon Gate, huh?
Well, maybe just this one match, right? Maybe just this one match.
For starters.
So that's, I think, probably the main reason why I talked about the show. We will see some interpromotional Kano coming over to Dragon Gate. He's already been, like, I think, Twin Gate champion in Dragon Gate, and he makes appearances here and there. He used to be a junior. He used to be an adjacent Dragon Gate company, you know, Michinoku Pro. That's where he started before he went to Noah. So not a lucha res, not a style unfamiliar to the angry man that is Kano. Let's move on to Kano's promotion, Pro Wrestling Noah. The big news, Karen, the GHC Women's Championship was announced. Unfortunately, they're going to decide their first champion with the Royal Rumble on November 11th. Why?
They started out strong with they're going to have a women's championship.
I
need whoever's booking Noah to give me a call. Let me book the women because no, we can't. No, you can't go this far as to establish a women's championship and then decide it with a Rumble. Contenders for the Rumble? Sure. Or, you know, the final four? Sure, but
so other big news in Noah, following a 6-man tag match at Noah's Monday Night Magic Autumn Episode 2 on October 28th at Shinjuku Face, the 6-man involved Kaito Kimiya, Manabu Soya, and Shuji Ishikawa, and they took on Go Shizaki, El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr. Sorry, Dr. Wagner Jr. and Galano Del Mal. And Shizaki won that match with the Gawain Lariat on Soya. But what was most interesting was that, you know, Japanese legend Masato Tanaka appeared after this match, Karen, and he challenged Shuji Ishikawa, who is the current GHC Hardcore Champion. So we're going to get that match in Noah sometime soon. Should be fun. For a guy who's in the business maybe 30 years now, and just had absolute wars all 30 of those years, Masato Tanaka can still go, you know. He's surprisingly still spry and not like, you know, 10 years ago, but hey, you know what? He, for a guy his age and all the bumps and bruises he has taken over the years, my God, still going strong. And following that, we will go to All Japan Pro Wrestling. They had a big show at Korakuen Hall on October 22nd. the big matches were the Garo TV Championship match. Actually, not really. I hate that title. But hey, you know what? The 26th champion was Fubunari Abe, one of my favorite wrestlers. And he lost the belt to Sego Tachibana, who used the Yankee Hammer. Okay. I mean, you're going to put a crappy looking comedy belt on somebody. You put it on, Sego Tachibana. You don't keep it on Fubunari Abe. After the match, oh my God, Jacket Man, Kurashio Tokyo, Tak Tachibana, and he said, "I'm going to be the next Garo TV champion." Hey, as long as he's not challenged for the Triple Crown or the tag titles, I don't give a fuck. But you know the other big thing was, Karen, that Kurashio announced that he's going to start his own group. Now, I don't know if he means his own promotion or his own unit. I feel it might be his own promotion. Kurashio Kingdom X. Because, after the successful run he had in NXT, appearing maybe 3 times on television, everybody's clamoring for him to start his own promotion. Here's the thing, Karen. I just want you to know, and I want all you listeners out there to know, especially the ones who are big marks for Jiro, Ikeman, Kurashio, Tokyo, whatever the fuck his name is these days. If he starts his own promotion, maybe he'll be less in All Japan, and that'll make me happy. Karen is wisely keeping quiet because she doesn't want to get the Kurashio Ikeman fangirls coming after her. It's okay, Karen. I'll take one for the team. Don't worry.
I just have no opinion. I have no opinion on it. I'm like, okay, if it's a group, sure. If it's a promotion, sure. There's plenty of promotions out there, so...
Sure.
Yeah.
Suwama, 20th anniversary tag match. Suwama was going to team with X, who turned out to be, I think I called this on the last show, Karen, turned out to be Shuji Ishikawa. So the Violent Giants reformed on your left. See, I got to take an on your left on this one because I can't take one for MCU later for Agatha All Along finale.
I haven't watched it yet. So it's
We don't know. Just my prediction about something didn't come true. So there you go. They took on Hideki Suzuki and Shuji Kondo. Hideki won following a double arm suplex on Suwama. So Suwama's anniversary match, he put over Hideki Suzuki, who is actually his current regular tag partner. What a guy. So unselfish. Masanobu Fuchi appeared after this match to support Suwama, and, tributes came also from Genichiro Tenryu and Keiji Muto, who trained Suwama. Backstage, Suwama stated that, hey, you know what? My boy Shuji isn't fully back in All Japan because he still hates our president. He didn't say that part. I'm just embellishing for everyone. But he says, you know what? Shuji, you can come back in the future, do some freelance for us. But, I don't know. Ishikawa, I think you need to get rid of this present guy. He's a real oddball, I feel. Anyways, main event, Triple Crown title match. Yuma Aoyagi took on the Odu Cup winner, Ren Ayabe, and Yuma won, retained his Triple Crown in 29 minutes, 7 seconds, using The Fool as a second title defense. Karen, Dayboy Smith Jr. came out, and he says, hey, I can eat more sushi than you. No, he didn't say that. But I remember a time when he would just brag on social media about how much sushi he loves to eat. And it's just like, dude, come on. Anyways, he claimed he will do something that neither the Dynamite Kid nor his own father, Dayboy Smith Jr. Sr., was able to do. And that is, he's going to take the Triple Crown and become Triple Crown champion. No, I don't think so. I think Yuma is going to keep that Triple Crown against Dayboy Smith Jr. on November 4th in Hokkaido. And in other All Japan news, Karen, we're just going to run down the blocks. I listed all the matches. We're not going to run all the matches. We're just going to talk about the blocks. World's Strongest Tag League. This is the annual tournament every December. A Block, the Saito brothers, Musashi and Seiki Yoshioka, Yuma Anzai and Rising Hayato, the current All-Asia Tag Champions, Shotaro Ashino and Dan Tamura, Hokuto Omori and Kuma Arashi, Daisuke Sekimoto and Kengo Mishimo, and finally in Apewalk, Makoto Oishi and Mike DiVecchio. In our B block, Kento Miyahara with his regular tag partner these days, Davey Boy Smith Jr., Ryuki Honda and Ren Ayabe, Suwama and Hideki Suzuki, Yuma Aoyagi and Funimari Abe. Oh, I love this, the concept of this team. Give me what I want! Hikaru Sato and Yuko Miyamoto, Cyrus and Hartley Jackson. Oh, don't give me any of this. I don't want any of this. And finally, another thing I don't even want, Kurishio, Tokyo, Japan, and Sego Tachibana. Oh, my God.
Didn't they just break up?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, I don't know. It's for the Comedy Belt. Maybe it's all a joke. It's all a joke. Anyways, the league will start on November 9th at Corken Hall, run through several shows, and then it will end back at Corken Hall on December 8th. And then, yes, that's going to be whoever A block winner is and whoever B block winner is. And I do not know who will be in these finals, Karen.
I have no idea either.
But it should be a fun league. I'm looking forward to watching at least a third of these matches. Because two-thirds of them I probably would just skip. And just, no, it's got Cyrus and Hartley Jackson. I do not want to watch Cyrus. I do not want to watch fucking Sego Tachibana and fucking Ikeman. No, fuck that. I'm not watching any of that. Nothing with them. Sorry. All right. Sendai Girls. Let's talk about this big show, Karen. What is it?
Oh, it's the Sendai Girls Joshi Pro Wrestling big show in Niigata on November 9th in Niigata City Gymnasium. There will be the Sendai Girls World Junior Championship Decision Match. That belt's been vacant for several years now, so it's great to see that they're finally resurrecting it and giving some talent, some newer talent. Chi-Chi from Evolution Joshi will be taking on Yuna, and the winner will become the ninth champion. There's a singles match between Yura Suzuki and Manami, a six-woman tag with Ryomi Tsunami, Haruka Umesaki, Yuzuki, different Yuzuki from Yuzuki Victoria, versus Dash Tachako, Hiroyo Matsumoto, and Zones, Shuji Ishikawa versus Super Sasadango Machine, Yurika Oka and Sari versus Mika Iwata and Miyuki Takase, and the Sendai Girls World Tag Championship match. Of course, their 20th champions, Chihiro Hashimoto and Yu, take on the challengers of Lana Cross and Venny. And a very, very, very special singles match with Meiko Satomura on her retirement road. She will be taking on Saori Anno.
That should be a great show. And
it's on Wrestle Universe, y'all.
So go check that.
Go check it out.
That's right. I have access to Wrestle Universe. So finally, our last piece of business, Karen, Tradition, Tatsumi Fujinami's promotion. They're going to have Dragon Expo 1978 on November 22nd at Corken Hall. And they have six matches here. Nobuyuki Kurishima, Masada, and Hisamaru Tajima will take on Tsubakichi, Sanshu, and Andy Wu, and Hiroyuki Suzuki. Shiro Koshinaga teams with the great Sasuke and Tatsuhiro Takaiwa, and they will take on Akira, Super Delphin, and Minoru Tanaka. Daisuke Sekimoto and Kengo Mishima, who are going to be in the All Japan Tag League, will take on Shuji Ishikawa and Hayato Tamura. Kento Miyahara and Ryo Inoue will take on Masakatsu Funaki and Leona, who is Fujinami's son, who is a terrible, terrible, terrible pro wrestler. And finally, in a special singles match, Mitsuya Nagai will take on Minoru Suzuki. Expect a lot of slapping and shoot style wrestling there. And finally, special singles match, Tatsumi Fujinami will take on New Japan's junior superstar Hiromu Takahashi, kind of the pioneering junior heavyweight superstar in Fujinami before he became a heavyweight. and taking on the current ace of the juniors. You know, maybe this is the match where maybe Fujinami's just going to say, kid, I know you like being a junior.
Go be a heavyweight.
You need to make the money. The money's in the heavyweights. So there you go. And our special guest referee for this match, Karen, the aforementioned Jushin Thunder Liger. So it's kind of this bridge, the bridge of like the early IWGP junior heavyweight champion in Fujinami and the current superstar, in Hiromu, but bridged by the special guest referee, Jushin Thunder Liger. Three generations of junior heavyweight, New Japan junior heavyweight legends here. I love it. I love it. If I can find this show, I'll try to watch it. Let you know. Just maybe just that match. Any thoughts on that?
It sounds exciting. I don't really follow tradition, but I mean that special singles match alone should be interesting. But also with, you know, Suzuki, I always love a good Minoru Suzuki match. So especially when I can see him wrestle with wrestlers I've never seen wrestle before.
Yeah, and the guy is like a guy who been a journeyman wrestler. You know, I think he was in like, you know, I believe it's been a while since I talked about Mitsuya Nagai, but kind of a, you know, guy who like did shoot style fighting in the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s. So I think they've probably wrestled each other before, probably in more of a shoot style promotion. I could be wrong, but anyways, but yeah, that should be a fun show. Hopefully I can get access to it, you know, somehow. I'm sure I will. And we'll, maybe I'll, you know, if it's good, I'll talk about it. If it's not, we'll talk about something else, but we will talk about, Karen and I actually, this isn't the only programming we'll be doing, this month. She is the next guest on the, where is it?
Other side. There you go.
Long and winding railroad here, folks. She's our next guest, and we're going to talk about a match not from All Japan in the 90s, but from Pro Wrestling Noah in the early 2000s, because I want to talk about this match. I love this match. It's a tag match between Takeshi Rikkyo and Takeshi Morishima, aka Double Takeshis, aka Wild 2, and they took on the junior superstar tandem of Naomi Shimura Fuji and one of Karen's favorite wrestlers and one of my favorite wrestlers at the time of that match, Kenta. Kenta. Like, oh my God, I love Kenta as a junior heavyweight, especially this era of Kenta.
I'm busting out my very special Maruken reunion t-shirt for this episode coming up.
There you go.
A friend brought back from Japan for me. So
there you go.
Just for you, we get.
We'll
the
be fashion. Recording that. Yeah, we'll be recording that later, a couple of days from now, and that should be up. Hopefully, in the coming weeks at postwrestling.com here at the youtube.com/postwrestling channel. It's free show, so freeloaders, welcome. Just like this is a freeloader show. I love the freeloaders on Post Perez, Long and Winding Road. MCU later. Not so much, because you should sign up to the cafe, because you get not only MCU later with me and Rich Fan and a plethora of guests. Karen was supposed to be on MCU later for Agatha all along, but you know, unfortunately, circumstances prevented that from happening.
My apologies for having a sinus infection and being on I would not have been a good guest with the medication that I was on. I mean, I could have been, but it would not have been a very productive show.
Maybe not with me being all abrasive and towards freeloaders.
I might have cried. It was not a good time.
Okay. Well, Karen will be up on upcoming episodes of MC Later. She is a perennial favorite on that show as well. But yes, Karen and I will be reuniting on the Long and Winding Railroad, which you will be able to hear sometime in the near future at postwrestling.com. But that's it for this month. Karen, thank you as always for your time. I appreciate you.
Of course.
I'll send you a lot of pictures of me at karaoke and Caesarea
and
yakiniku.
Pictures of food.
Kaiten sushi. Like kaiten sushi and going to, oh fuck. I can't wait. I can't wait to go to my first 7-Eleven back in Japan. Oh, fuck. Oh,
I'm so jealous.
I cannot fucking wait. I'm probably not going to do any home cooking with my friends that I'm staying with. I'm probably just going to eat konbini food and go to restaurants the whole time I'm there.
The dream, honestly.
You can see, unlike fucking North American convenience stores, you could probably eat pretty well on just convenience store food alone. Yeah. It's not the healthy. I'm not saying it's the healthiest food around, but it's a lot healthier
compared to what we have at our gas stations. Yeah.
Yes. It's a lot fucking healthier than what you will find at the fucking Canadian American equivalent of a 7-Eleven, especially Canadian one. Canadian 7-Elevens are fucking shit. They are terrible.
Have you ever been to a Wawa?
That's in Japan, right?
No, that's here in the States. It's a gas station.
No, I have been in Philadelphia.
Okay.
I think my good friend Rich Fan took me to a Wawa. They're not bad. Some of the rest stops are pretty good, I feel.
Yes. For
truckers, they got a pretty good deal with like their rest stops and like gas stations that cater to them.
Bucky's and Love's, yeah.
Yeah. Those are nice. I'm talking about 7-Eleven.
Yeah. It's not the same here.
No. We went to one. I was like, holy shit, this place, I could probably, instead of going to get Thai food, I could probably just bought a bunch of like sandwiches and pre-made meals here. And they even had like, I think a restaurant, like you could buy burgers and hot dogs.
Oh, fancy.
And shit like that. This one, maybe. I, you know what? Rich Fan might listen to this and he might correct me. I don't know. Is that the hotel we went to?
The no furniture hotel?
Yeah, it's near the hotel we went to after we escaped from the motel from hell, after we got out of that shithole, and then we went to a proper hotel that, like, in the same parking lot was, like, this convenience store that was really, really good. I think it might have been what it was. But anyways, it doesn't matter. Your fucking just regular fucking convenience store in Japan is 100 times better than even that.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. Yep. But anyways, I'll let people know. Follow me on Instagram if I allow you to, because you have to be approved by me. Or, you know, I don't really let people follow me on Facebook unless I know them. But that's where I'll be posting my updates. I don't really do the Twitter /X Elon's shithole of a site anymore, Karen. Me neither. Can't go there anymore.
My soul's been broken by that place. Yeah.
But I'll have a report. Ask me questions on our December episode, Karen.
I'll make notes.
Okay. All right. And for Karen Peterson, the Empress of Post Wrestling, and myself, WH Park, go get the jacket. It's really nice. It's limited. You can only get it for so long. Maybe. Depends on what Dickie Bird says. Get the Poison Rana hat. I love this hat.
Nice. That's a nice hat.
Dickie, bring back the dad hat, man. The flex caps are okay. I'm not a snapback guy. I love these hats. Bring one back. I want an MCU Later hat in this style. Come on. Do me a solid, bro. Do me a solid. But until next time, I, on behalf of Karen again, I will say thank you very much for listening and see you later.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat. Literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.